Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, October 9th, 2015. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
It goes, generally speaking, in a forward motion most of the time, sort of.
You know, that's better than spinny crazy. I don't know where it's going.
Or that. It's one of the two.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, there's that. Hey, John Martellaro's here too. How are you, John?
I can hardly top that, Brian. So I'm just going to say I'm here.
John, I'm leaving. I kid, of course.
Phew, that's lucky. We have a sponsor this week, and our sponsor is Downcast, the podcasting app, which is totally awesome. I can't hardly talk. It must be like Friday, and I'm running out of steam for the week. I am glad both of you were here. It's really great. There we go.
And we get to talk about my favorite subject and Brian's favorite subject.
Actually, yeah, let's talk a little bit about Apple Car, but more specifically, let's talk about Elon Musk, who is Tesla's CEO and founder, and he has come out saying that Apple has been hiring Tesla engineers for presumably Apple's own car project, and
it's got to piss him off.
Well, it pissed him off enough, apparently, that he has come out publicly saying, yeah, Apple's actually hiring the engineers that I'm firing. And he referred to Apple as the Tesla graveyard because the employees that his company's been firing are ending up there. So he says.
All right, Brian, launch.
Well, it's nonsense. And the question is whether or not he knows that or whether or not that's just what he and his inner circle are telling themselves or if he's actually being lied to. Because I will just tell you flat out that it ain't true.
Yeah, well, the reports about Apple's hiring of Tesla employees for quite a while has focused on Apple recruiting employees, not picking up who's been fired.
Both companies have been recruiting from each other. I mean, this is Silicon Valley, right? They've both hired some great people, and you know, there's a lot of competition for great people in Silicon Valley these days. Both companies are great companies. My specific understanding is that Tesla has been losing some people, and of course they're not losing everyone, but they've been losing some people to a variety of companies, Apple included. Mm-hmm. And that companies of these employees are leaving Tesla to go work elsewhere. They're not getting fired and going to work elsewhere. I mean, it's either just braggadocio or self-delusion. I don't know which it is.
I absolutely love that you just said braggadocio.
Easily amused, sir.
Yes. Yes, I am.
I don't think Elon understands how thoroughly these comments are analyzed and talked about and blogged and podcasted and written about to the point where he can't get away with saying something like that. So,
but maybe he believes it.
Maybe your theory right.
Maybe he's being told this by his people. Maybe, like I said, maybe it's sort of this this grand self-delusion where they're all telling each other this is what's happening.
It's a great theory. I kind of don't buy off on it completely, Brian, because Elon has demonstrated that he's one of the brightest technology guys on the planet. All the things he does have been swimming successes. And you know, I think he's just too smart to go for that.
Well, you know, it could be that this is posturing. Well, of course it's posturing, but it could be that he just doesn't care if people are going to analyze this and chop it apart, because the people that he really wants to hear or have hear this are probably people that aren't going to be analyzing and chopping everything apart. Just the average person that may be interested in Tesla or an
Yeah, the average person is never even going to know this was said.
Oh, well, then in that case, I mean, this, it would be a total fail as
yeah, this is an echo chamber comment. And I can't, I mean, it's either an echo chamber comment or it's a comment aimed at Wall Street. I would think that Wall Street would know better on something like this.
I just got the sense that he was greatly upset and irritated. It sort of sounds like sour grapes, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. You may be projecting somewhere.
Yeah, I always project.
I mean, it's either a careful false statement, or it's or he believes it. Right? It's one of the two. So it's either propaganda, or it's something he actually thinks is true. And I'm not sure how much of a hand he has on daily operation. I mean, it is possible that he thinks it's true. I don't have any sources that are that close to Elon Musk. I just have sources that I have sources that know the company.
You know, I'm inclined to think that he knew or knows what he said is wrong and didn't care because it's about the posturing. And I'm wondering if he's concerned about how well Tesla will be able to compete once Apple is in this game. Because if Apple is drawing attention to the electric car market, it's not going to be just Apple and Tesla. It's going to be all these other car makers that have been dabbling with electric cars, but now have an easy path to sell more.
Well, my guess is that Tesla will be able to compete just fine. I know that we said this somewhere. I believe we said it on the show, but I think that. By the way, I refer to myself in the royal we now. Apparently, but. Apple's tide is going to lift all boats on this particular front. I mean, it's mm-hmm. And there are a couple of car executives who have made that point. Tesla is going to be one of those boats that rises as more attention gets brought to it. As more, you know, and there's more back and forth between these two companies as well as between all of the companies in this space. There's only going to be, you know, more ideas that are out there. Apple is not going to kill Tesla by any stretch of the imagination.
I was reading the other day about the new Tesla X. I think it was rolled out earlier in the week with the Falcon Wing doors, and it's a beauty, $130,000. But
those are the doors of a billionaire.
Yeah. But I'm looking at that car, and I'm looking at the beautiful console and the technology and the 250 or 300-mile range or so, and I'm thinking, wow, this is what Tesla's doing. Just think what we've got in store for the future. Now, I know Apple and some analyst, wasn't it Maynard or somebody who suggested that Apple car would sell for, the electric car would sell for about $55,000, or was it Horace Diddy? I think it was Horace Diddy who did some analysis and figured out what kind of revenue Apple would be bringing in. And with a $55,000 car and 2.5 million units, that's what, $145 billion. Annual revenue, which is pretty good money. So it'll be interesting to see how Apple's electric car varies and is different than a car like the Tesla X, especially since we think it'll be less expensive. What do you think, Brian?
I think that it's way, way too early in this game to be making guesses like that.
Okay.
I mean, God, there's so much that's going to happen in between now and then. We don't know what part of the market Apple is aiming for, let alone what part of the market Apple will actually hit. We don't know what the what auto prices in general are going to be at that point. We don't know what's going to happen with battery technology in between now and then. I mean, there's so many things that are going to be happening in between now and, you know, 2019 is supposedly the pie in the sky goal for this car. Mm-hmm. It's 4 years from now, and it's probably going to be 2020. And I don't know, man. I think it's way too early to be making any kind of informed speculation yet on that part. I mean, with all respect to Horace, he's smarter than I am and knows a lot of things that I don't know.
I think Tesla can get away with selling a $70,000 Tesla S and a $130,000 Tesla X, but I don't think Apple can. I think Apple, in my opinion, has to sell a car in that $40,000 to $60,000 range to make it approachable if they want to get the volume that they want.
Well, how do you know what volume they want?
Well, I mean, Apple, first of all, they want to make money. Second of all, they want it to be a significant growth product. And if they only make $10 billion a year on the product, they haven't priced it right.
Yeah, okay, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so what we've established is that when Elon Musk said that Apple is just hiring away people he fired, that he was wrong.
It is a complete falsehood. I am sure that someone that Tesla has fired has been hired by Apple or some other company, but in general, it is a falsehood.
All right. Well, there you go. And Elon, if you want to come on the show and explain to me why you're right and Brian's wrong, I am right here. I will make a spot for you. Hey, we have a sponsor today.
Cool.
Yes, cool, because our sponsor is Downcast. And Downcast is a podcast management and playback app that I've been very pleased with. So much so that I stopped using Apple's own podcast app on my iPhone. And this is what I use instead. I like that that you can build your own smart playlists for the podcasts you listen to. I like that that you can stream or download podcasts, just depending on what's going to work best for you at any given time. I like that you can synchronize your podcasts between your devices, and that you can even put your podcasts on your Apple Watch, something that Apple's own podcast app doesn't support, which just kind of crazy. Why doesn't Apple do that? Anyhow, so Downcast, it's a great application. You can get it for iOS devices and OS X. And if you go to downcast.fm/TDO, that's going to jump you right over to the place in the iOS App Store where you can pick up a copy for yourself. It's $2.99, so it's going to cost less than the Starbucks drink I'm going to buy later today. And it's totally worth the $3. Go ahead and pick it up. Trust me, you're going to like it. Anyhow, downcast.fm/TDO. Go check it out. And thank you, Downcast, for being our sponsor this week. Okay. One other thing I wanted to take a look at today before we wrap up the show is the whole AT&T Wi-Fi calling support, which was enabled yesterday, so that would have been on Thursday. And I'm glad that they finally got around to doing it. They didn't, just very briefly, do it before now, according to what the company is saying. It's because they wanted to wait until they had the proper waivers in place from the FCC so that they could legitimately offer Wi-Fi calling. And they're saying T-Mobile and Sprint didn't do that. They just chose to go ahead and turn the feature on. Anyhow, so it's on for us now. And if you have an iPhone 6, 6 Plus, 6S, or 6S Plus, and you're on AT&T, you can try this out and see how it works for you. Turns out, though, even though Apple says that Wi-Fi calling is supported on the 5C and the 5S, AT&T isn't supporting it. So, what that means is if you have an older iPhone and you thought you were going to get to use Wi-Fi calling on AT&T, you don't get to. Now, I'm curious, what do you guys think?
I think that's just perhaps a method by AT&T to ease us into the traffic load.
So you think maybe they'll let him later?
Sure. I think they're testing. That's their way of turning it on, but letting it work for the low volume because there aren't too many 6S's and 6S Plus out there yet. Most of the phones are probably 6's and 6S's. I'm sorry, 6's and 6 Pluses. And so by eliminating the 5C's and the 5S's by fiat, unexplained. They get a chance to have all the PR of turning it on and making us the early adopters happy, and then kind of like easing into it and managing the traffic load.
The fly in your ointment is that the 6 is the best-selling iPhone date.
Yeah, if you look at the area under the curve, you might be right. Although a lot of 5S's were sold.
I mean, but one way or another, it limits the number of people who can do it. It limits the number of devices that can do it. One way or another, it does place a limit. Who knows what their motivation is, though?
They're not saying. Now, we did ask, and I'm not using the Royal We, so the Mac Observer, we asked. And the response we got from AT&T is, hold on, I'll actually tell you exactly what they said. We're not announcing future Wi-Fi calling devices just yet. So that could mean that they will add 5S and 5C support at some point. But it doesn't mean they're going to do that. What it means right now is they're just not saying anything.
I tried to turn mine on, and I did not have the luck that many other people did.
Now, which model do you have?
I have an iPhone 6S, and I'm running iOS 9.0.2. Mm-hmm. And I went into the Wi-Fi section of the phone in settings, and I tried to turn it on, and I got a little note that says, for the plan you have, call your carrier. And I have just this normal family plan. I don't know why I can't do it. I'll have to call AT&T. I've not yet done it. Find out what they're thinking.
Now, that's interesting. Now, we can eliminate the fact that you have a microcell as a possible problem. Because I have a microcell.
You have a 6S and the same microcell I do. Yep.
Yep. Yep. And I had no trouble activating Wi-Fi calling. But what I did find afterwards is that when I'm in range of my microcell, my iPhone prefers that over Wi-Fi calling.
Well, when I find out what AT&T is thinking in my case, I'll let you guys know.
That sounds great. And Brian, you have a 6S as well, right?
Yep, turn it on. Giddy up.
No problem at all?
No problem at all.
So, I'm so jealous.
It sounds like it's just you, John.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I haven't actually seen it in use, despite only having 2 or 3 bars where I am now. 2 or 3 bars is actually an increase over my previous location, which is why I had to get a microcell. Mm-hmm. I don't use the microcell here, but I still kind of expected the Wi-Fi calling to be turned on. Because one would just assume that AT&T would look for any excuse it can to offload.
Right.
Calls from their towers, but also because, like I said, I usually only get 2 or 3 bars.
Have you received any phone calls since you enabled Wi-Fi calling?
No.
Well, hold on. You're about to get a phone call, Brian.
Sweet.
Hold on. I'm dialing you right now.
One ringy dingy, two ringy dingy.
AT&T Wi-Fi.
So it jumped you to AT&T Wi-Fi when I called you?
Sure did.
Well, there you go. Okay. So if you have enabled Wi-Fi calling on your iPhone, but you're not seeing it showing up in the status bar yet, have someone give you a call. I hope you don't mind I hung up on you, Brian.
You rat.
I know. I am horrible like that. Horrible.
Of course, I didn't answer your phone call. So, you know, I guess
I hung up on you.
I'm a rat something too.
Yeah. That's how you roll.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we're about out of time. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
The royal you.
I meant me and John this time.
Well, all right. Well, then, John, thank you for being here too, even though Brian already answered for you.
Thanks for the memories.
You're so welcome. And Downcast, thank you for being our sponsor this week. I'm really pleased that they're sponsoring the show, because I really do enjoy using their app for my podcast listening. Check them out, downcast.fm/TDO. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again next week.